Welcome to Career Tools. This week, accepting LinkedIn requests. Here we go. This is about accepting LinkedIn requests, which I suspect a lot of people are like, gee, how hard is it to just click yes, accept, or whatever, right? Yeah. But we get questions about it, right?
We do, and people are worried about, you know, should I accept it from my boss or recruiter, and
somebody who might
interview me? There's all these different cases where people are worried that there's a message that's being sent, so we want to clear that area up.
Yes, and let me also say, this cast violates one of our rules, is that all of our cast are timeless and not timely. When we did our first cast on social media, it was called the MySpace cast. And 2 years later, we recognized we should have called it the Facebook cast, although the rules still applied relatively equally. But we generally avoid talking about things that are somewhat ephemeral or less lasting. And of course, social media comes and goes depending upon their business model, one supposes. So what are we going to talk about? We want to give people guidance. There is a case to be made for temporal guidance in this case. So what do we want to tell them?
Okay. So we're going to say yes to all of the requests. If you're not looking, say so and stay in touch. It's pretty simple.
Can we start out by saying there is a chance you might say no?
There is a chance that you might say no, but I think...
But it's pretty small.
Yeah. The cases that people write to us about, their worries... There are 100% of cases, and in 1% of those cases that people are worried about, might we say no, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
So in the vast majority of cases, I would say yes.
Yeah, I'll actually share two cases of people that I didn't say yes to, if that may be helpful to people to give some sense of things. Okay, so what you're saying is, in principle, we recommend, ManagerTools and CareerTools recommends you accept all networking requests within LinkedIn.
And generally, in the Build a Network cast, we say build your network indiscriminately, because you never know who you might be helpful to and who might be able to help you in the future. So cutting down your connections by saying no to people, or say being dismissive about people because they're not immediately, you can't immediately see a use for them, is not the way to go. Probably won't make you any friends either.
Horseman's law of discriminating networking is, we can see you coming. The person who takes a rifle shot approach, the 23, 24, 25 year old who says to me, I need to meet this guy, how do I do it? I said, well, just meet a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And your 6-7 degrees of separation, your Kevin Bacon rule will cause you to get there faster. But I'm amazed at the number of people who believe I'm only looking to connect with people who can help me, because it just screams of selfishness and a misunderstanding of the fundamental rule of building your network, which is to give and to give and to give and to give. As it happens, we're recording this podcast in August of 2013. Maybe it's July, and the Harvard Business Review that I just picked up and was reading a fabulous article about, the entire issue is dedicated to influence. And it talks about internal networks and external networks and how to build your network and so on. And they probably go a little bit to the dark side about, yeah, you should definitely, you know, build your network the right way. But the problem is nobody knows what the right way is. And pretty much probably for most people, by the time they're 30, they've learned a lot of habits about networking. So if you're young and you're listening to this cast, please, whatever you do, consider the janitor to be part of your network.
Absolutely.
Please. And if for no other reason, they have keys to everything, and that's good if it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's good when you lock yourself out of the office for the fifth time in a row.
Yeah.
Not that I've done that.
Yeah. Okay. So what are people's concerns about connecting relative to LinkedIn? When we say connecting here, folks, generally, you know, we'll make a distinction when we talk about more generally, like the aside we just had. But generally speaking, we're talking about connecting on LinkedIn. So what do we want to tell them about people's concerns? Because we're telling them yes. We're telling them, go ahead and say yes. That's the default answer. Rather than having a default no and having somebody overcome your no, the default is yes, and then you have to have a burden of proof to say no, right? Is that essentially the principle here?
Absolutely. And I think part of people's concern is that it's public, in a sense. If you're already connected to your boss, if you connect to somebody else, your boss can see that. And most people's concern is around recruiters or interviewers from other companies or people from competitors.
Sure.
And they think the boss will read something into that. They'll read in, I'm looking for another job. They'll read in, I'm giving away secrets.
Yeah. And it's fair to say that some bosses would.
Yeah.
Right?
But not smart bosses. Not smart bosses. And one of the things that you can do to mitigate this is the bigger your network, the less likely this is to be a problem. Because if this recruiter is 1 out of 500, it's much less significant than if you only have 5 contacts and they're 1 out of 5.
I got to tell you something else too. Any smart boss, and of course you may be working for a dumb boss, or you did in a previous life anyway, the people who know the most people are other recruiters. One way to juice up your network is to know recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
I really see LinkedIn as having found a very effective niche. It has become the professional Facebook. Please don't write me and tell me how stupid I am, because I know by definition how stupid that statement is. But I'm trying to use an analogy. And everything I read about brain science, by the way, says analogies work.
Mm-hmm.
And the professional Facebook, my point about that is it's a bit of a demilitarized zone. It's okay to have 1,000 people in your network, 25 of whom are recruiters, 15 of whom work at a competitive company. It's okay for those people to be seen by your boss. There is no, among the vast majority of people, there's no assumption. Now, generally, we take a careful viewpoint about one's communications with one's boss. But I got to tell you, folks, if your boss said to a group of more senior people, less senior people, and his or her peers, if they said, oh, yeah, well, this guy knows a bunch of recruiters on LinkedIn, and they acted as if that was somehow defense or that was a statement against your interest relative to your likelihood of being loyal to the company, people would just look at that person like they're insane. Like, what? You're using his LinkedIn? I mean, if he only knew 15 people on LinkedIn and they were all recruiters, okay, fine. But if the guy's got 500 people and 10 or 15 or 20 of them even are recruiters, you're smoking crack if you think that's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So what if your boss asks?
So if they ask, you can be honest. You can say something like, boss, I realize...
Well, what a novel idea.
Yeah, honesty. I believe in honesty. If you're asked a direct question, then you can answer it honestly.
Yeah.
As far as you know it at that situation. So you would say something like, I realized that my network was quite small and I want to increase it. I do know a few people in the industry that might be looking at some stage, and this lady seemed to be a good person to be connected with. I'm not looking at the moment.
I'll tell you, I think I mentioned this on a cast recently, or maybe it was just you and I talking recently, Wendy, when I was over in Germany recently and I had dinner with Eldon Schaefer, our good friend. Eldon was there in part to visit with a competitor, an owner of a firm whom they had been in discussions with several years ago, and the landscape had changed. Now, if his boss, the CEO of the entire company, Eldon runs a part of the world for them, if his boss had a concern about that, his boss is unnecessarily and inefficiently paranoid,
mm-hmm.
because he's saying, I'm staying in touch with this person. Now, hypothetically, it's possible that company could say, we'd like you to be our global chairman of the board and CEO and pay you a king's ransom. And hypothetically, somebody might consider it. I doubt Eldon would. But the point being, that's completely normal. And folks, if you're being cowed into not having a robust network within your industry, particularly on LinkedIn, because of how you think it might appear, you are just dead wrong. And you need to get that crap out of your head. If there's one thing I could do going back in my career, I would have kept more relationships warmer longer.
Mm.
And I'm actually pretty good at networking relationships, and I still I consider myself to be below average.
And if you've got a boss who's limiting you in that way, he's not only a bad boss, he's also limiting your future options. So you are allowing him to change not only your present, but your future. Because if you don't have those connections in the future, you won't get the jobs you want as easily as if you had a network. So don't give that one person power over both your present and your future.
Yeah, I love the fact, by the way, that you use all male pronouns in that, so I can then defend female bosses as being better and saying you should go to work for a female boss who will be more open-minded. I'm kidding, folks. I'm totally kidding. There's no difference. There's just as many, percentage-wise, there's just as many crappy women bosses as there are men. There just aren't enough women bosses. But I think you're right. I think if your boss is saying to you, I don't want you talking to anybody else, your boss's way of keeping you is making you poison to everybody else, and everybody else poison to you. That means he or she is absolutely not marketing you for a promotion within the company that might cause them to lose their ability to control you. And even though control is an illusion, and that's a bad sign, which, by the way, the solution to which is to get a better network internally in your company and go to work for somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about interviewers?
So you can say yes to them, a yes to them too, whether they're an interviewer that you meet through an interview or whether they're an interview to someone who does interviews for another company. Again, if it's one connection out of 500, it's much less significant, much less noticeable. So start building your network now. Make sure it's on LinkedIn or anything else that's visible to your boss.
And what do you say? What do you say if you're asked about an interviewer? I mean, an interviewer is a stage higher than just anybody who may appear. So what do you say?
I met this gentleman recently outside of work, and I wanted to be able to keep in touch with him. Just perfectly truthful.
Well, okay, so go further. Are you thinking about leaving?
I'm always open to opportunities.
Yeah, I would say it differently. See, I don't think you say that to your boss, even though that's true, and it's fine to say what you said. If I'm in a conversation with my boss and my boss says, are you thinking about leaving? I can truthfully say, heck no, because right now what I'm thinking about is the tension between you and I. I'm not thinking about leaving. I'm thinking about maintaining my solid relationship with you. Oh, master. Oh, captain, my captain. Yeah. And to be clear, we've said this obliquely and directly in many, many casts, folks. Your career is yours to manage. If you're thinking about leaving, the truthfulness ethic, which is one must be truthful, is only true insofar as it does not hinder your own interests within your career. Now, if you're asked a point blank question about whether or not you stole from the company, that's something different. But if somebody says, are you looking? You're not obligated to tell the truth. You alluded to this earlier, I think, in the cast, Wendy. The way of thinking about answering questions like that is you're entitled to an answer to any question you ask me, provided you're my boss or professional associate or whatever. You're entitled to an answer to any question you ask me, to which you're entitled an answer. If you ask me about my sex life, you're not entitled to an answer. And I have a wide range of options, everywhere from humiliating you to embarrassing you to simply being a gentleman and saying, how dare you, sir? But there are some questions that are off limits. You are not required to be truthful if your boss says, are you interviewing? And fixes you with a stare as if to suggest, my power and this stare will compel you to tell me the truth. You're not. In fact, Mike, who, in fact, I just noticed, just tried to call me. He's in California. I'm in Houston. And folks, I can tell you right now, even Mike Ozan, the deputy honor captain of my class at West Point, would tell you, you can look right back at that manager and say no, because no answer against your interests is required. If a truthful answer would be against your interests in that case, when your company 99.99% of the time has given up its managing of your career and your boss is using his or her power against you, you're not entitled. You're not required to answer truthfully. Was that too much of a soapbox, Wendy?
No, it was perfect. I think you're much better at this political stuff than I am, and I would happily poke most of my bosses in the eye and have done and have suffered for it.
So. Yeah. Are you implying that I've never poked one of my bosses in the eye?
I think you've learned better than I have. I tend to make the same mistakes over and over again.
Only marginally. And apparently getting hired here cured you of that problem, so nothing to worry about. Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that LinkedIn essentially has become the digital equivalent of a form of a network, and professionals work on their networks all the time. And the more connections you have, while paranoid or insecure bosses will see that as your interests against theirs / the company's, although if they're paranoid, their interests are not necessarily aligned with the company. But it's also better for them, too. The better connected you are, the more people you know internally, the more people you know externally, your boss oughtn't be threatening by you having contacts with competitors, although certainly some bosses will. But if you stay casual, folks, your boss will stay casual too. Or essentially, they'd have to be really clumsy and stupid to not stay casual.
If you really think your boss is the paranoid type, if they're really the kind that, you know, when you have a sick day, ask you specifically where were you and what was wrong with you, and you and suspect you of interviewing, then don't connect with the interviewer. Just say to the interviewer, I'm sorry, while we're in this process, I don't think it's appropriate.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if you have a boss like that, and very few of you do, then I think it's fair to say, then you need a good network and you need to start looking for another job. Because in today's world, the person who acts as if you managing your own career and having a robust network is counter to the interests of the firm, is putting the interests of the firm so far above you that you have so little influence there that's going to bite you at some point. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next thing you said in the outline was, if you're not looking, say so.
Yeah.
I think we've already touched on this a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
We touched on, if you're not looking, say so to your boss. But some people are also worried about, you know, a recruiter or a competitor or an interviewer contacting them. And they think, oh, well, if they're contacting me, they must want me. And if they want me, then what do I say when I'm not looking? And then and I want to say something to my boss and I want to be truthful. And it doesn't matter. You can be open to opportunities. Always listen to the opportunity.
OTO. Yep.
But you don't have to be actively looking, especially if you've just started a new role or a new project or there's something you really want to see through. That's fine. If people contact me for jobs, I say, I'm sorry, I'm in my dream job. I'm never leaving. But if I do, I'll contact you.
There's an interesting parallel here in etiquette. When Mike and I were in school, there were still such things. Actually, I think there's still such things at West Point as cadet hostesses, and they taught us etiquette. And one of the things we learned is if you were invited to a dinner party and you were asked how the food was, of course, you say, ma'am, it was fabulous, or sir, it was fabulous. And then if they say, how were the peas, and the peas were inedible, you say, they were lovely, ma'am. There is a case to be made for white lies mm-hmm. as a function of etiquette, simply because somebody is asking a question, again, to which an honest answer is not required. And I don't want to harp on that too much, but the same thing is true here, where if you go out on a date with someone's sister, I'll use the male version of this, and her brother asks, how was the date? You say, she's so, you know, how did you get on well with my sister? Oh, dude, she's delightful, right? You say mm-hmm. something like that. You say something flattering, even if you don't intend to date her again, for whatever reason, because maybe you're an oaf, I don't know. By the same token, if your boss asks you, or if somebody else asks you, an interviewer, a recruiter, are you looking? No, I'm not looking. Okay. And then you can also say, I'm always open to opportunities and I'm not looking. If your boss corners you and says point blank, are you looking? Say no. No. I'm busy. I'm plenty busy. I'm not looking. Mm-hmm. Now, if he or she probes and says, well, but would you turn down a great offer somewhere else? Say, boss, I'd be a fool. I mean, frankly, the reason I came here was I had a good opportunity. So look, I'd be a fool not to look at other opportunities. I'm open to other opportunities, but I'm not looking.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think you and I have talked about this before, about recruiting being a sales profession.
Yeah, all those people who think it's about helping people find perfect opportunities. You would be disabused of that notion in minute two of your job as a recruiter. It's about sales. It's about selling candidates to companies, and it's about selling companies to candidates. And it's about filling roles and making your numbers. It's not anything about matchmaking or putting two perfect people together. And recruiters are used to hearing no. They're salespeople, the same as other salespeople. They're used to people saying, no, I'm not interested. No, I'm not looking. No, this candidate isn't the right one. They're used to hearing no, and they're also used to saying no because they have to reject candidates. So you don't have to worry about hurting their feelings, because in general, they don't have any.
Yeah. And in fact, there are some who would tell you, I'd rather you just tell me no rather than having
absolutely.
A long dance back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not interested. Good. I'm not going to spend another second on you. I have a job to do, and that's fill this position, and I don't have time to talk to people who are waffling about it, mm-hmm. wishy-washy about it.
Yeah. You can say something like, thanks for the connection. I'm always open to opportunities. Right now, I'm working on a project I'm pretty committed to seeing through until the end of 2014. If you have a great opportunity you think would tempt me away, then I'd love to hear about it. I warn you now, though, that I'm saying no to 95% of what's offered to me. I'd love to keep in touch so we can work together when this project is done.
Yeah, I think most managers who are who are paranoid and insecure about this situation just hate the fact that the market is suddenly becoming a lot more efficient and disintermediated after a fashion in terms of less phone calls and voicemails, but rather emails and, quite frankly,
things
broadcast emails. Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, using company resources to do it. But that's a whole other thing.
I mean, recruiters are pretty persistent, but you might need them in the future. So you don't want to cut them off. You want them in your network. So you can say no thank you. And you can say, this role isn't enough to tempt me from what I'm doing right now. And the way you know that that role isn't enough for you is you already know about the role because you have contacts in other companies where that role is. It's like it all fits together.
Yeah. Okay. So I suspect there are a lot of people, though, that when they hear this, they're like, wow, I'm supposed to stay in touch with all of my LinkedIn contacts?
Yeah, you are.
All of them?
Yeah, you are. It's funny. When I was writing this, I was thinking about us. And because of our positions, you and me and Mike and Danny and Maggie and Tracy are all pretty open. You know, we say yes to, you just said, all but two people. We generally say yes to connections. And I could tell you who keeps in touch after that. Because I can count the number on one hand. I don't know how many connections I've got now, but less than five keep in touch with me.
Oh, dude, I've said this before in a recent cast that nobody stays in touch with me. It's classic. Like, okay, cool. Less for me to do. Yeah, I'm amazed by that. And I think LinkedIn has become a big positive and a potential more efficient Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
That, I know where these people are because they're in my LinkedIn pool. And then you don't stay in touch. And then you need a new job. And then you blast everybody on LinkedIn saying, I need a new job. And they say, God, I don't even remember how I met you.
Yeah. All your fishes are floating on the top of the pool.
Essentially, it's a digital cold call rather than an analog cold call. And I'm sorry, the common denominator in both of those is cold call. Yeah. What do we do, though? Okay, stay in touch. The other side of that, though, is I have a fairly liberal connection policy. I don't think I have a lot of connections. I don't know what the definition of a lot is. I think I saw I had 1,800, but I think that's just because the number of people who have listened to our MySpace and LinkedIn cast, right? Where we say, please connect with us. If it helps you to connect with us, by all means do so. And we intend to leverage our LinkedIn community going forward and providing some content there as well, although we haven't really figured that out yet. But let's be clear. I promised I'd share this. There are two people. I think you said three. There are two people. One person I just unaccepted. And the reason why is I typically get, I don't know, 10 or so a week, maybe 20 a week. It just depends. A cast like this, I'll probably get 50 requests afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I have a rule that when you ask to connect with me, if you just send me boilerplate, I've talked about this before, I know, that says I'd like to connect with you on LinkedIn or add you to my contacts on LinkedIn, I just clicked accept. If you write me and say, Mark, I'm a big fan, I've been listening for years, or I've only listened for 6 months, but I really appreciate it, I'll write you a note back, and then I'll take another action and accept as well. Because I feel like, okay, if you're going to take time to write me, I'm going to write you a short note back and tell you that I'm not just clicking the accept button. Accept, 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 accept. It is not a blind acceptance. Okay. Well, apparently I did that, and I discovered that there was a person who I had connected to who I could not tell from the name. It was not a typical United States name, but that doesn't mean anything particularly. We have contacts all over the world, but I couldn't tell the gender of the name, and it said banking, but the picture of the person was a scantily clad female. And I decided this person wasn't a banker, and there is a chance, there's a very slim chance that that person was attempting to use me to get to my connections. I don't know if they know how other people have connections. I think it does say, if you have more than 500 connections, it says 500 plus connections. And I'm sure they troll LinkedIn for people with more than 500 plus connections.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had said yes to this person previously. They only had 20 connections or whatever. And so I just deleted them. And I don't think you actually get a note saying you've been deleted. So I felt fairly benign about it. And frankly, would have felt benign anyway, even if this person, male or female, had gotten a note. There is one person who's requested to connect with me, whom I knew, and I chose not to connect. And actually, I didn't decline it. I simply, I think, allowed the invitation to expire. And this is a person who had been vocally less than professional with our team and had said disparaging things about us and about what we recommend. And I just decided, you can get your management advice somewhere else. I'm a big believer in having a big network, but I don't need to have anybody in my network I don't trust, respect, or like. And I thought this person, frankly, was a jackass. We'll just contrast that, folks, with my approach to Facebook, which is I am on Facebook and I have two friends, one of whom is my daughter. The other two of my children are not on Facebook. I apparently am setting a good example, or not. I don't know. And then one is a very close high school friend who I inadvertently clicked on. And when I told him that I clicked on him, he says, "Why'd you do that? I'm never on Facebook." I said, "I know. You and I have less friends than anybody else in the world." So I have two friends, and this person has never made an update to his account. And my daughter, Kate, does regularly. Please don't ask to friend me on Facebook, because I won't, and I don't mean to be rude, but I think if I open it up to everybody, then I could not share my family photos or my personal stuff with my kids, unfortunately, because of my job.
We know that people aren't keeping in touch with us, and we think that we're probably pretty valuable in your network because we're pretty well connected.
Maybe,
And some of
maybe
us
that makes
are
us
smart.
Sound, yeah.
And we like to know how people are doing, but if you're not keeping in touch with us, we'll bet that you're not keeping in touch with anybody else.
Yeah.
And the value of your network is highest the more you keep in touch with it. There's no, if your network is cold, then your network has no value at all.
No value.
If you've touched every point in the last 3 months, then your network is red hot and ready to go. And that's where you want to be.
Yeah, I would argue that a cold human is no longer human. And a cold network is no longer a network.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Humans and networks are better warm.
That's an easy remember. That's a tweetable. So when I was writing this, I thought about, like, use the 10 minutes after lunch to send an email to five people you're connected to in LinkedIn. You come back from lunch, you're like, oh, God, afternoon, I'm feeling a bit bloated, like a bit sleepy. And you can check off five emails to people on LinkedIn in 10 minutes, and then you've got a flying start to your afternoon. You're like, I already did five things, and you've kept your network warm.
Yeah, and it's as simple as, hey, man, haven't talked to you in a while. Hope things are well. Things are still good here at XYZ. Looking forward to summer vacation, or looking forward to a ball game next weekend at Yankee Stadium where the Yankees will lose. You know, something like that. It's not hard. You don't have to wait until you get an article that will be really interesting to that person. You can just say, hey, thought about you the other day when I went to this. You remember we did that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's all. Nothing
right.
big.
And one of the things about habits is that they say you should link habits to something that you do every day and to something pleasurable. So if you link eating with contacting your network, you shouldn't forget.
Yeah, and if you really want to be efficient, when you're walking back from lunch, you can be doing it on your phone and run into people on the sidewalk. Absolutely. Okay, so that's it. Why don't you wrap us up?
Yeah, so say yes. If you're not looking, say so. And stay in touch, because humans and networks are better warm.
Yeah, exactly. It's a new horseman's law of networks and humans. Yeah, building a network and keeping it isn't hard, or it isn't complex. The history of it suggests that it's brutally hard because no one does it well, and we revere the people who do it well. Rolodexes are a thing of the past, but modern versions of them really exist in some form, just like LinkedIn. It's not hard. It's just getting in the rhythm and staying with it. And it's a bit like insurance. You don't like doing it, and yet it pays you huge dividends when you need it. If you practice with your network doing the things you need to do now in small doses, it'll spread through the rest of your professional life, and that's a good thing. That's it.
Good. Thank you.
Yet another brilliant cast written by Wendy Lord. Thanks, everybody. Many of you probably thought this was unnecessary, but there are a lot of people write us asking us questions. If you have more questions, go to the forums, manager-tools.com/forums. See you there. Thanks.